So yeah, you guys had quite the week, and it's fun. Just thank you. I think that's all right. It's fun to be here and watch and kind of take part here and there wherever I could do something. I enjoyed it, and I enjoyed going to down to the fair. I think I even enjoyed that more. I don't know. They're both like evangelism, you know, but I just enjoyed being out where if they don't like talking to you, they just tell you to get lost or something, you know. Not that they do, but it's kind of like you're in their territory. But I want to thank all of you for the work you guys do here. You guys are amazing. I can't believe, as small a group you are, as much as you guys do, you're all working hard. And that's a lot of work to do, VBS. Thank you for being kind of the one that planned it all, and all the work of getting ready. But you guys are all great workers. I can't believe it. It amazes me, because a lot of people would get discouraged and just close the door and go someplace else, you know. But God has a purpose for the church, and I expect to see it full one day. I helped start a church over in Rice, and later I went back one time, and this older lady, she says, "You remember when you used to say this church would be full one day?" You know, I don't think they believed me, you know. But it was full. And it was a small, you guys got a nice big building, but it was a small building. But it was full. The Lord wants to do a work in all of our lives, you know. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for all that you've done last week. And at the fair too, Lord. And Lord, I pray that those Bibles that went out at both those places would speak to people's lives. I pray that you'd help them to open the Word and start reading the Word, Lord. We pray for those whose hearts were touched during the VBS, and that you would just help them to grow, Lord. Change their lives and help them to follow you now, Lord. And Lord, we just pray for today, and we just ask that you'd touch our hearts, Lord, touch our lives. Lord, help us to become more like you. So, Lord, just help us as we look into your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm going to talk about 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll kind of focus on verse 9, but I'm going to kind of start with the background and stuff. But if the only example I could think of was when you go to the grocery store to buy something and you walk around and it'll say peas or beans or corn or whatever or bread, or they're labeled. Stuff's labeled, so that you can find it, because you can read the signs up above the thing, although still sometimes hard to find stuff, but stuff's got labels on it. Well, here in 1 Peter, the Lord gives us some labels. And if I had to put a title to this sermon, it would be, Remember Who You Are and Grow. And the book of Peter is written by Peter, that's why the name. But who was Peter? So I wanted to look up a few things about Peter, if I can get back here to where I found him. It's a lot of scriptures that mention Peter. But he was a reed, and he was changed into a rock. And he was tender-hearted, and he was affectionate. But sometimes he was full of strange contradictions, and at times kind of presumptuous. And Other times he was timid and cowardly. Sometimes he was self-sacrificing, and yet he was inclined to be self-seeking. He was gifted with spiritual insight, and he was slow sometimes to apprehend spiritual truths. That kind of sounds like me sometimes. It takes a while. But he was also, in some ways, pretty cowardly, and we all know about his denial of Jesus. But then, after Pentecost, he became a rock, and he fulfilled the prophecy of Christ, and he became very courageous and immovable. First Peter was written in the latter period of his life. It was written during that time when he was the rock, not early in his walk with the Lord, but that latter period of his life. It was probably written from Rome just before the martyrdom under Nero. And that would be around A.D. 64 that it was written. It was written to the elect, and we're called the elect, and it was the elect that was scattered throughout Asia Minor. It was probably written to both the Jews and the Gentiles, not just a group of people or a certain church or something, but it was more broader. And so it was written kind of to the whole body of Christ in that region. These churches were mostly founded by Paul, but Peter sends his spiritual message of encouragement and instruction and admonition. So all of those kind of show up in this book of 1 Peter. And the book of Peter starts out by talking about the glorious salvation. And so it's telling about something that most of us have experienced, is that salvation. Talks about chapter 1 there, working your way through there, is kind of a living hope. Talking about be holy. And talks about exhortations to live out holiness. Talks about the cost of redemption. Talks about the foreordained plan, the power and permanence of God's word. So sometimes, I don't know how you guys see it, but sometimes I struggle a little bit with, we've got God's grace, and yet he tells us to be holy. And it's like kind of a conflict in a way. But it's not a conflict. It's a matter of how do we balance those things? Because we can go way one side or we can go way to the other side. But we need both at work in our lives. Because we are a holy people. We walk this way in darkness. And we ask the Lord to come into our life and forgive us of our sin. And take that sin away. And we now follow him, so we've turned around and now we're walking with Jesus. We're not perfect, but yet there sure should be some change in our lives. Talks about that. The fruit of the Spirit should start showing up. We should see ourselves becoming more like Christ as we live out our lives. And So we're moving, he's moving us away to where we're living out that life of being in Christ, we might say. So that kind of brings us up to chapter 2 there. And in chapter 2, we see the nourishment of the Word. I'm going to read just a couple verses right now. It says 1 through 3 goes like this. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So when I accepted Christ, it's like I just tasted what was good. And it talks about newborn babies. I always like to think of it in the sense of, I guess because I raised cows and calves years ago, I think about it like that. And those little baby calves, boy, they go after them mamas. And if they don't get all the milk they want, they start banging and buttoning and stuff and really going after it. And you know, that should really be the picture of what we should be like as newborn babies in Christ. That we should want the Word. We should, that's how we grow, you know. And we just kind of tasted it. It's like when we receive salvation, that's the beginning, that's not the end. And so many times we view, okay, I got heaven as my home, now I can go live and do whatever I want and all that and get away with it, and one day I'll be in heaven. Well, maybe they can, maybe you can't. But that's not what he wants. That's the start, not the end. Now I've tasted salvation, and now I grow in him, become more like him. There's a song. Teresa, could you come help me sing this song? Do you kids know that song? Now all of a sudden went blank on the song. What's the name of the song? Read your Bible, pray every day, and I'll grow, grow, grow. It's a kid's song, and there's actions to it. Do you kids know it? Come on up here and help us, will you? And if you can stand and do the actions, do them. If you can't, well, I will forgive you. But there is so much truth to this. And so who's, you going to start us off? Yeah. I'm not a singer, okay? My wife used to be a singer, but okay. All right. Come on, everybody stand up that can stand up, okay? I know some of you can't, but that's okay. All right.
Read your Bible,
pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray, grow, grow, grow. Yeah, we're supposed to be down here. You'll grow, grow, grow. You'll grow, grow. Grow. Read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, forget to pray, forget to pray. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray. You'll shrink, 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 and you'll shrink, shrink, shrink. And you'll shrink, shrink, shrink.
Neglect your Bible,
pray, forget to pray. You'll shrink, shrink, shrink. All right. You won't forget that, will you? Just a good illustration. You know, your leader here that did VBS and was upstairs, she did a great job with a lot of illustrations. I don't know if those all came with the material or what. You wrote it all up? Really? Oh, man. Amazing. Cool. That's even better. I was wondering, because that stuff's expensive, you know, that material. But she had some great demonstrations to demonstrate a lot of different principles of the Word. And yeah, she had the kids outside. I like that. I like that one with the tea bag. She had this tea bag, and you dump the tea out of it, and then you open it up. I think it had to be some little double one or something. Oh, it did? I didn't see that one. So you light it up, and it starts to burn, and then it starts raising up off the ground and going up. And I didn't see the one that went over the church building. But it's amazing, those illustrations. But he wants us to grow. He's telling us in here that we should be like a little baby that's nursing. And, you know, if we read the Word, it'll help us grow up in our salvation. Like I said, it was a start, and then we grow from there. Going on here in, what do I want to go to next? So the next verses then kind of go on to Christ as the foundation of a spiritual temple, telling about Jesus being the living stone and the people being a chosen people. And I want to read verses 4 and 5. It goes like this: the living stone, a chosen people. Verse 4. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we're being built up into a spiritual house. So, like I said, we turn from our sin and we're over here and we experience salvation, and we turn around, we walk with God, and he's working in our lives. We're not perfect. Well, we are perfect in one sense, because God forgave all of our sins. We were talking about one day about this flash paper I used to use as a demonstration, and you light this paper on fire and you threw it. They told her not to do this in church, but I did it right in the middle of church service one time in a sermon. And I think everybody's eyebrows really went up when I lit this paper, because I had a pretty big piece of paper. It was like a full sheet. And you light it, and you throw it, and it completely disappears. No smoke, no ashes, no nothing. It's just gone. And that's what our sins are, completely gone. But then he wants to build us into a spiritual house to be the holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice accepted to God through Jesus Christ. And goes on and talks about Jesus being the cornerstone. So I want to read through verse 8, and it goes like this, starting at 6. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious stone, cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become a capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes him fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for." And we see that. We saw it in VBS. Some people don't accept. That's a choice they have to make on their own. We can't do that for them. And they can either accept it or reject it. And it's a shame, but that's the reality of it. But if we are the ones that do accept, it's Jesus is precious to us. He's the cornerstone. And I want to go on and read verses 9 through 12. And the thing I want us to see today, or one of the things, is who we are in Christ. Okay? Because sometimes we don't think of ourselves this way. But in verses 9 and going on through 12, it says, "But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." Remember, we just talked last week and for a couple weeks there, 2 or 3 weeks, about praise and worship and thanksgiving, and being thankful and stuff. But going on then, it's, "Once you were not a people, but now you are a people, are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." We've experienced it, in other words. "Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us." So it's going on. So again, we have the grace, and yet God's calling us to be a holy people. He's telling us that we are a chosen people, that we're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people belonging to him. So we need to remember who we are in chapters 2, 1 through 10 there, or 1 through 12 actually. God's own people, chosen to make known the wonderful things he has done and still does. We're being built into a living temple which rests on the work of Christ. We can't get to heaven by our good works. We can come help with VBS. We can go to, you know, to the fair and try to evangelize or give people Bibles or whatever. We can come to church every Sunday. We can go to Sunday school. Those things don't save us. The only thing that saves us is the blood of Christ, him dying on the cross for you and for me. Peter stood up after Pentecost, and he was a powerful witness that day, and he spoke, you know, to the people, and the people said, "What shall we do?" And he says, "Repent. Repent, be baptized." Sometimes we forget about the repentance part. We just want to do the good works or be a good person. I can't be anything without the Lord. I can't stand up here and do this. I can't change myself. I need the Holy Spirit working in my life to change. You guys didn't know me before, but I'll tell you, I had a filthy mouth. And I didn't care who it was around. I was horrible. The guy that led me to the Lord, I used to have a little feed store over on the coast, and he'd come in and buy his feed when his wife had a Bible study. And he'd come in there, and I'd try to trip him up in his face. I'd cuss and swear twice as much when he was around just to try to get under his skin. And he just kept coming back. And he just kept caring. And he invited us to a Bible study. And a little bit earlier, some of my friends had gone to a Bible study and they accepted Christ. And I'm like telling Teresa, I said, "Okay, let's see how long this will last, you know. This, you know." And I started seeing good changes in my friends. And it made me wonder about Christ. Eventually, I went to this Bible study. I was still kind of a hard case because I went for a year, and still hadn't accepted the Lord. My wife accepted the Lord, I don't know, a few months into it. I didn't accept the Lord for like over a year. And this guy asked me why I wouldn't accept the Lord. And I said, because I want to do my own thing. You know, I said, you've taught in this Bible study, if I give my heart to the Lord, I need to follow it. I said, I'm not ready to follow him. I want to run my own life, basically, is what I'm saying. And anyway, one night I went to the Bible study and the Holy Spirit really convicted me. And I sat there through that whole Bible study, and my wife, pretty soon she's saying, afterwards you usually had snacks and stuff, you know, and she's like, well, we better go home. And I'm like, no, not yet. Let's wait a while, you know. And I'm just under conviction. And finally, I just kind of blurted out. I said, I need to accept the Lord, and I need to do it right now. And the Lord changed me. One of the things, and I'm not saying this is a good idea or not, but I prayed at that time that the Lord would show me how real he really was. And stuff started happening. Like the next day is amazing. And I'm like, how could I ever deny that he is real? I mean, from what he's shown me in those next few days. And our life totally changed within, a month or 2 months. We ended up moving over here. Lord, give me the desire of my heart to be able to farm. I thought I was going to farm the rest of my life, raise cattle. And God comes along and he says, I want you to be involved in ministry. And I'm like, no way, Lord, not me. And struggled with that for a year before I finally gave in. But I read the call of Moses and I read the call of Jeremiah. And I told Teresa, I said, Moses asked him the same questions I did. I can't speak. I can't do this. I can't do that. Blah, 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 you know. Both Moses and Jeremiah did the same thing. So I gave up and said, okay, Lord. But for that year, I was sicking God on everybody around me. I'm like, they can do this a lot better than I can. Out of them, they can speak good, they can do this, do that, whatever, you know. But point is, he changes us. I never knew all that was going to happen. It freaked me out. Freaked me out anyway, but it would have really freaked me out if you knew. But as we walk, he changes us and molds us, becoming more like him, and helps us, if we listen to the Holy Spirit, to do the things he asks us to do. But those things aren't saving us. We're saved by grace through faith. Faith in him, we get grace. But there is works involved. But they should come out of our love for him. And as he changes us and molds us, we do good things, and that's what it's talking about in here. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits. Remember who we are. And I just want to talk a little bit for a minute about these things that he says we are back up in verse 9. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, and it goes on there. There's four things. A chosen people signifies, if you look it up, kind of try to get a definition of it, signifies chosen out or selected. The Revised Version says, they translated it, elect. It talks about Christians as people of God. could be like a chosen family or a chosen race. So it kind of uses the illustration of a family or a race of people. Royal priesthood. Royal is like a king. It's a word used in 1 Peter 2:9 of the priesthood consisting of all believers. Priesthood is like a body of priests consisting of all believers. The whole church, called a holy priesthood in 1 Peter 2:5 that we looked at, a royal priesthood in 1 Peter 2:9. The former term, when it's talking about 2:5, is associated with the offering spiritual sacrifices. The one in verse 9 has to do with the royal dignity of showing forth the Lord's excellences. Okay? A holy nation, if we look at holy in 1 Peter 1:2, signifies a separation to God. Like when we accepted Him, we're separated to Him. Where was that? In 1 Peter 2:5, it talks about a holy priesthood, and in 1 Peter 2:9, calls it a holy nation. It's a characteristic of God-likeness. Okay, we should be becoming more like Christ as we walk through our walk. And then it also says a people belonging to God. And as I looked that up, it's like a special people. It's like we're separate. We should stand out from the world, not look like the world. We're different. We've experienced salvation. We're talked about holy nation. I found some stuff that says holiness, when applied to people, essentially means the quality of being set apart to God to live morally upright and righteous lives based on the Word of God. To be holy, Christians must model their behavior after God Himself. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, "Be holy, for I am holy." That's 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. The church of God, unified by the truth of God and the power of God's Spirit, collectively forms a spiritual nation of people spreading throughout the globe. Here's another little paragraph I'll read to you. God wants His nation, the church, to be a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Talks about that in Ephesians 5:27. In other words, God's nation is united and identified by the conduct of its members. They are a collective body that strives to live holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. Colossians 1:22. Christianity is more than just a set of beliefs. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. I walk different than I did before. It's in the opposite direction. It's really hard for me. I don't know about for you guys. I really struggle when I tell people, I mean, when I hear people say I'm a Christian, and then I hear them cussing and swearing, and I see them come going and getting drunk, or you see them chasing other women or whatever, that bothers me. It's giving Christianity a bad name. That's not, you should hear my brother's not a Christian. You should hear what he has to say about Christians. And there isn't any of it good. And I'm like, I know that's what it's like, and it shouldn't be that way. When we accept Christ, we turn around, we walk with Jesus. We're a peculiar people. We're a different people. We stand apart. And people should be able to tell when they see us and get to know us that we're a Christian. It shouldn't be just talk and not any action to it. James talks about that. talks about, you tell, so I forget how it goes. You tell me, it goes like something like, you tell me and I'll show you how, you know. In other words, it should show. The church is to be different. Instead of blending in with the rest of the world, church members are to stand out. They are to become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights. Philippians 2:15. The most powerful and important way to proclaim the praises of God is to set an example of His way of life in action. Proclaim the praises of God is to set an example of His way of life in action through our daily conduct. We're called out of darkness into marvelous light. Talks about in the Word. As a result of this calling, God's people commit their lives to walk as children of light. Ephesians 5:18. See if I've covered these. So I want to, I had a quote here. I got a quote here I want to read you from, out of the Haley's Bible Handbook, and it says this: Christians born into a glorious inheritance by the Word of God, 1 Peter 1:23, in journeying along through this world towards their heavenly home, their heavenly homeland, still for nourishment, guidance, and strength need constantly to feed on God's Word, 1 Peter 2:2. Thus along the way, tasting and experience that their precious Lord by their side is gracious, kind, loving, and helpful as He leads them onward, 1 Peter 2:2 and 3. So it's like we need to experience Him helping us to grow and being with us. And this chapter talks about, the book of 1 Peter talks about suffering and being thankful and how the Lord will be with us through all of that. The Lord will be with you through what you're going through. He's right there. I can't tell you how it'll all end up. I can't tell you what you'll go through or what your husband will go through. But I hope that He will put things on pause. But He'll be with you and He'll help you through this time. And not just for her, each one of us. He didn't say we're going to have a perfect life. We're going to go through some awful struggles, and it might get a lot worse before it gets better. But He'll be there with us. We're a royal priesthood. We are a chosen people. We are, what were the rest of them? Holy nation. We're a people belonging to God. Thank you, Lord, for what you help us become. I just want to read in closing out of the Amplified Bible. I thought it was kind of good the way it, and I'm not going to read all of it, just verse 9 through probably 12. It says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation, God's own purchased, special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." And that's a quote out of Exodus 19, verses 5 and 6. Verse 10, "Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy." quote from Hosea 2:23, verse 11. Beloved, I implore you, as sojourners, strangers, and exiles in this world, to abstain from the sensual urges and evil desires and passions of the flesh, your lower nature, in parentheses, that wage war against your soul. Verse 12, conduct yourselves properly, honorably, righteously among the Gentiles, so that although they may slander you as evildoers, yet they may be witnessing your good deeds, come to glorify God in the day of inspection, when God shall look upon you wanderers as a pastor shepherd over his flock. Anyway, just a little worded, a little bit different. Hopefully that was meaningful to you. But don't forget who you are and then grow. Let God help you grow and ask him to help you grow in him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We praise you and we worship you. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our lives. And Lord, help us desire that milk, Lord. And then as we grow, I pray that you'd help us to eat meat and go on with you, Lord, and become mature in you. Thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, to just get the stuff done around the building here as we close. We thank you for all you do for us, especially for your word, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.